Fair enough.
Okay. Showbiz.
Okay, I guess it's time to get started. First of all, thank you so much for showing up. When we read that we had a noon session on the last day, we thought we were going to be talking to the walls. So thank you, everybody, for showing up, and hopefully we'll make your next hour and 15 minutes worth it. This is a deep dive in Power Pivot in Office in SharePoint. My name is Diego Oppenheimer. I'm a program manager on the Excel team, so I'm part of the engineering team that brought Power Pivot and Power View into Excel.
And my name is Kai Unkroth. I'm a program manager in the Analysis Services team, and Diego and I had the pleasure to work together over the last couple of years to integrate Power Pivot and Excel services. And one other thing we discussed when we learned that we had this session over noon was, well, hardly anybody will show up. And those that will show up, well, it's your own fault. Yes, and with that, I'll give it back to you, Diego.
Okay, let's get started. So the goals for today's session, as the title might have suggested, is we're going to go do a deep dive, and we're going to go pretty deep into the Power Pivot and Office and SharePoint stack. And to kind of showcase the type of scenarios that we see coming out of this stack, we built a custom Twitter application, and we're going to kind of show you how that works and how you can follow through and how we built it. One of the main reasons why I picked the Twitter application was actually because it really showcases well the self-service BI, that reactive type of I want to do analysis now on what's happening currently, and I want to understand what's occurring in my business immediately. So, and I can just build that on the fly with SharePoint, with Office, and host it. So, without going too much further, let's go straight into the demo.
The first demo.
The first demo. Sorry.
It's not the demo.
Okay. So Twitter. Super interesting BI scenario. Took about 3 years to get from the first tweet to the billionth tweet. We tweet about a billion times a week now. Most retweeted event was recently was from our president, 400,000 retweets. But I'm going to actually go ahead and kind of define the terms. Let's zoom that in a little bit. Define the terms I actually want to go and search on. So I'm going to go search for SPC12. Let's go get some live data here. Let's bring that term in. And then let's go Power Pivot, because that's our favorite term ever. Down here. There you go. Zoom that out a little bit. And I'm going to go hit import now. And so if you see, I have a little status up here, so that's going to start to import. It's going to take a little bit, has to go out to Twitter, has to bring all the tweets back into our data model. But I'll kind of walk you through what we built here. So this is just a general dashboard. On the top, we have a couple of different easy tickers. Think of it as like slot machine tickers type thing. We have the top tweeters for all our search terms, top mentions on the bottom left, the top hashtags that were involved in this data set, and as well as the tweets per day. And then here on the right, we have a couple of the filters that might be interesting. We did a little bit of sentiment analysis, so I can look for my happy tweets, or those that we detected as happy tweets, and see who's the happiest tweeter out there. So Alan Koo seems to be our happiest tweeter out there. And I can see that my actual new data import just finished, so I'm actually going to go ahead and refresh so I can get the latest data. Let's go ahead. And so what I'm doing now is just refreshing the data model that's feeding this dashboard, and we're going to go take a little bit of deeper dive into who's tweeting out there and what they're talking about. So let's kind of zoom in onto a SharePoint conference, because it seems like that's where we are. So it seems like pretty fair across the board. Seems like our big tweeter today, at least. One of the things that you'll notice is I have just 100 tweets, and just all from today. The Twitter API is throttling me, so I can't actually go and get everything that's out there. So people have been tweeting a lot more than what I'm showing. But from the top 100, I can see that the top hashtags for the SharePoint conference are Not surprising enough, SBC 12 and SharePoint. And the top mentions are SB Conference, and we got a couple people down here who seem to be getting mentioned quite a bit. And we see some negative tweets here, so let's see who's not really happy today and why they're not really happy about this. So it seems like there's two people who are not particularly happy about what's happening at the SharePoint conference.
Just a question, these people in the room?
Yeah, anybody in the room that's not unhappy? Can we make you happy?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. So I'm kidding. So which one are you, the top or bottom?
Bottom?
The bottom. So let's see what you're unhappy about. I'm curious now. So let's go in there and check that out. Oh, you have to leave in the middle? Can we not convince you to stay? So sorry, I'm going to have to see if I can zoom this a little bit for you guys. Ah, well, I guess that's understandable. It'll be on video, so don't feel too bad about missing it. So the interesting part about this is that we're actually kind of doing a really, really rudimentary sentiment analysis based on a tone dictionary that we built directly into our into SharePoint. And as you can see, I have it here in my workbook, and I'm actually going to show you how we managed to put our SharePoint list directly in a workbook, in case anybody's curious how to do that. And it's actually fully editable. You saw I did the same thing on...
Diego, let me stop you right there. You build a SharePoint list into a workbook?
I did build a SharePoint list into a workbook. Amazing. and so, you know, what we did is just kind of assign some random words that we picked, said, you know, these are positive words, these are negative words, and then we're doing some analysis in the background on the tweets. And that's how we kind of build that up. That's pretty cool. We've actually been tracking how everybody's been talking about the SharePoint conference. The big negative ones have been no Wi-Fi, not kind of expected. Apparently, there was no bacon this morning in the cafeteria. This is actually really, like, I was kind of hoping it was going to show up when I did the latest refresh, but sadly, bacon is no longer important after 10 a.m. But before 10 a.m., bacon, very big problem. A lot of people tweeting about lack of bacon. So we will tell the organizers your feedback about that. Okay, so this dashboard has some intricacies in the background and how we built the full system and hosted it. So I'm going to actually pass the ball on to Kai, who's going to go deep into how we built the system.
Thank you, Diego. Would you advance one more?
Yes, I can.
Let's start from the basics. How did we get to building this Twitter application, which we use as a sample app to go deeper in just about a moment? There was a sample workbook that Microsoft published about Twitter analytics in the Excel 2010 and Power Pivot for Excel add-in timeframe about a year ago. It's still available today on the Microsoft Download Center. It's not for Excel 2013, but it was a VSTO-based workbook that worked just in a workbook, and I worked or talked to the original author, Aaron, and asked him if it was possible for me to take his code that he used in his VSTO application directly inside a workbook and move this into a SharePoint-based solution. And I blogged about this on our team blog. The blog article is still on this blog site. The blog is blogs.msdn.com/powerpivot. And that was a SharePoint 2010 solution, which essentially used Aaron's code to pull the Twitter data into SharePoint lists, and then you can connect the Power Pivot workbook to these lists and import it into your workbook and do your Twitter analytics there. Advantage of that versus the original workbook was that you could now share the solution in SharePoint. And then Diego here came to me and said, this is awesome. Let's do this also for Excel 2013. You already have the solution. It's not much work. Let's do this. And I said, sure, let's start. But if you have a customer like Diego Oppenheimer here, then my advice is run. Run for your life, because he is going to lead you into something like this at the end of the day. This is what you built. The original solution was this little box here. You know how it is with customers. You start building something and, oh, this is cool, let's build this. And wow, you know, now I just need to refresh this workbook on demand. Can you do this? Yeah. And can we embed a list into a worksheet and then refresh and update some data and do some more?
This is the problem when you're a data nerd. Like, you get excited about these things and the feature creep just kind of happens by itself. But Kai was a good sport about it.
You remember all those cool features in Excel services and in Excel that you wanted us to build? This is the reason why we did not build them. Let's start a little bit with a less intimidating diagram. This is actually what we provide out of the box with the product. I will go into the details how these components interact with each other in a moment. We have Diego's components here in green with yellow fonts, and we have the PowerPivot system service and its AppDB here on the bottom, together with our data providers that do a lot of the work under the covers. And we also have in our solution architecture reporting services, which will provide us with the PowerView functionality that we also have in our workbook. The components that we added to this stack. Actually, before I go into that, let me talk a bit about our demo environment. Here in this architecture, I split it out into client front-end service, application server, and analysis services server. And in our topology, this amounts to these virtual machines that are running in Windows Azure. On my demo notebook, it's in Windows Azure. On Diego's notebook, it's on a local virtual machine because we had some issues here with the networks, so we wanted to be sure and double up on everything. So in my environment, I have a domain controller that is just dedicated to that role. I have a SQL server that is hosting the content databases. I have an application server, and I have my WFE, my front-end server, and I have this dedicated analysis services server that is now running outside of the farm and provides the analytics capabilities that Excel Services uses. Excel Services essentially streams the model to this analysis services server running in SharePoint mode. Here are the components that we built to enable all these great features that Diego gave you already a little glimpse at. We have our data import timer job, which runs and is scheduled to update by default once a day during the night hours. The databases in our relational backend based on some search terms and other information out of some SharePoint lists. So this import job reads the information here, goes to Twitter, gets the data, and puts it into the databases so that we have it easy to import this information into the workbook. We also have a few web parts that one of them is this import now button that you saw that triggers this data import timer job. But that web part is a little complicated because you cannot use a web part to instantiate a new timer job. That is a farm administrator's operation. So the way I solved that problem is I created another timer job that actually uses a SharePoint work queue. And if you guys are SharePoint developers, you might know what I'm talking about when I talk about this SharePoint work queue. A SharePoint work item timer job is actually a special kind of timer job that works on work items that you put into that work queue. If this timer job finds one, it runs. So what this import button does, it puts this work item in here into the queue. This timer job finds it and instantiates a run once timer job for this data import, and then the data import will take place. And afterwards, Diego can refresh his workbook, which sucks the information out into the data model. Here in this.
I thought you were saying my workbook sucked.
I'm sorry. No, I said sucks. Sorry. Pardon my pronunciation. In here, we show you the architecture inside of SharePoint. Diego was, of course, working directly in his client at the moment here in the Excel client. So he actually connected directly to the database when he showed you the import here. But it works the same way when you're in the browser, except in the browser, the data model is actually loaded on the AS server, and the AS server will pull the data in. That's pretty much what I have to cover on the components that we built. The diagram looks a little bit more intimidating than the actual components are. It's relatively easy to get started with the solution development in Visual Studio 2012 because we have these nice project templates. Is this advancing?
Should be.
Diego built some animations in all these slides. I never know what's showing up here. So, out of the features that we have in the box, what features did we take advantage of? we have them here. There are more features that we bring, but those are the ones we capitalize on. One is browser interactivity and web parts. I already talked a little bit about the web parts aspect. And the other aspect is that Diego's workbook that he already showed you works also in the browser. That is our browser interactivity feature here. We use workbooks as a data source also in this solution. Workbooks as a data source is a feature where one workbook goes and uses the data that is actually in another workbook that is hosted in SharePoint. We'll come to that in a moment. I go deeper into the architecture. We use timer jobs. I hope you guys are familiar with those. We are also using scheduled data refresh, which is a feature that the PowerPivot add-in brings to the table when you install it in your SharePoint environment. We also take advantage of data feed support. In SharePoint, you have this list service SVC web service that you can use to programmatically go into a SharePoint list, and the data feed provider that we have in PowerPivot and in Excel can use this interface to import your list data into a workbook. We took advantage of that as well. And then on the Excel side, we have Office apps. That's how you see these lists directly inside your workbook. And we have PowerView. That's my typo. Actually, two typos. PowerPivot is spelled together, and it should be PowerView there. Sorry about that. Yeah, so workbooks as a data source is one of the key features in PowerPivot for SharePoint. How does it really work? Before I go in here, let me switch to my demo so it's more effective or more inspiring to show you this in real. I'm going to go into PowerShell here in this computer. I'm now directly on my web front end server, by the way. And I'll bring in the management shell. And in this PowerShell window, I'm going to connect to a workbook that I have hosted in a SharePoint site. This is my workbook. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to create an ADOMD connection. I'm going to specify this workbook as my server. I'm going to open this workbook. And in that moment, Excel services will stream the data model over to the analysis services server. And then I can just query this workbook data and get some results back. So let me just paste this all into my screen here. And I hopefully will be able to show you a successful demo. And that works the same way with my custom solution, as well as with PowerView, as well as with Performance Point services, as well as with Excel services whenever Excel services wants to do something with data that is in another workbook. As you can see, I successfully was able to connect here. Now let's go back to the architecture diagram, and I can show you how this really works. So I'm sitting basically here somewhere with my custom application. You can consider this reporting service application here. Where's my mouse? Do we have a pointer? Mm-hmm. There in the middle, this big, I need a mouse pointer on the slide. Oh, there it is. we're making progress. I feel really like handicapped without a mouse. So this is my custom application that you saw here. In this case, it would be the reporting services application. If you were interacting with a PowerView report, that would be the application that would be working with ADOMD.net. You specify a workbook URL. ADOMD.net is smart enough to discover that, and it will go to a component that we built, which is called the SharePoint client component of ADOMD.net. And this client will use the public APIs that Excel Services offers to communicate with Excel Services, and will say, hey, I have a workbook here. Would you please load that for me? And it is very important. In SharePoint 2013, there's only one component that knows that an analysis server even exists, and that is Excel Services. All the other components will always go through our data providers to Excel Calculation Services to load the model. And Excel Calculation Services has a little component in here, which is called the Streaming Server Pool Module, which is that little thing that will actually send the model over to the AS server. So we requested that we want to load a model from a workbook. Excel Services will go to the content database, load that workbook up, send the binary data over to the data to the AS server. The data model will be loaded, and then Excel Services will give this component back the name of the server where it was loaded and the name of the model that was dynamically generated. Right? You can have multiple AS servers in the backend. ECS will pick one. And the name of the database that is loaded is dynamically generated. It has some GUIDs in it. I can show you this later when I'm jumping to the SQL server what a name of a database looks like. For now, just remember that this information is passed back to the ADRMD.NET provider. And now the ADRMD.NET provider can establish a direct connection over TCP IP, which is our lowest overhead connections that we can have. And so the performance that you get in SharePoint 2013 with our architecture is as best as it can be. There's no more WCF transport in this. You get to the data model, and now you can query it with your application. And that's what you saw when you saw the results coming back. So this is workbook as a data source, one of the things we took advantage of in our architecture for our sample workbook. Next, I want to go into one more interesting aspect, and that is scheduled data refresh. I talked about these web parts that we also built to trigger scheduled data refreshes automatically. In Power Pivot for SharePoint 2010, we had a number of customers that came to us and asked us to do scheduled data refreshes more frequently than once a day. The product, by default, will only allow you to configure scheduled data refresh timetables on a daily basis. We don't support more granularity because we feel it is, you know, the information workers that upload workbooks might just go overboard and schedule refreshes every 5 minutes, and the SharePoint administrator would suffer the consequences, so we don't offer that. What we noticed in 2010 was that a number of customers started hacking our product and started blogging about how to do these things by going low level into our application database, and our hair stood up and we thought, man, how are we going to support that? Of course we are not. And, well, there's this saying, right? You don't have a successful product until you're being hacked. But so we thought in the next release we'll make hacking a lot easier. And we redesigned our product accordingly. You don't need to make a handstand anymore and invent the schedules all yourself. Right now it's, let's do a demo. Let's go. Actually, let me explain the architecture first. Sorry for jumping. I'm getting so excited about hacking my product. So this user interface is a scheduled data refresh configuration page that you get on a Power Pivot workbook. This is the normal user that sees that. The user actually, these pages communicate with our Power Pivot system service because the user does not have direct access to our application database where the cookie jar is. You schedule a data refresh, you say, I want to run it on a daily basis at 11 o'clock at night or whenever, and the system service basically writes a work queue item into this queue for this workbook. But that's all that the system service does at this moment. We also have a timer job that kicks in every minute to the system service to say, hey, check if you have workbooks that need to be refreshed, and the system service goes and reads it out, and if it finds one, then it will process it. We also have a secure store integration feature if you want to specify custom credentials. For example, if you want to use your own identity to refresh your data, sometimes the system service account doesn't have access to the actual data sources, so this is an important feature here. If the Power Pivot system service needs to refresh a workbook, the most important design change that we did is we're no longer refreshing. We're going to exit calculation service and let Diego do the work for us. This has a number of advantages for us. In the 2010 timeframes, we were only able to update the data model, but we were not really able to update the workbook, so we had to enable this flag refresh on open so that whenever you opened the workbook, then in the browser, the data refresh would take place. And the disadvantage of this approach is that you will always go and have a full query of the data model every time you open that workbook, and that is slow and costs system resources. By having ECS do that work for us now, they can refresh the model, they can update the workbook, this flag is no longer needed, and you have always the updated data in the workbook directly as well as in the model. The other really cool thing of this is that this is, again, a public API, so not only did we make it easier to hack our queue, we also provide you with an API that you now can actually use to build your own custom solutions if you have any workbooks that you need to refresh on a custom basis. And we actually have implemented these two web parts to demonstrate these two approaches. The first one, hacking the queue, I'm not going to show you the web part source code because that is relatively uninteresting. Let's go into a SQL server directly, and I'll show you there. Here's my SQL server. Here I have a Power Pivot gallery to schedule a data refresh. Let me first show you the work queue that's empty. So here's my Power Pivot service application database, which my system service uses in the back. There's a table called data refresh work queue. And if I just go and do a select here at the moment, in my demo environment, you will see there's no workbook scheduled for a refresh. I can go in here now, configure a refresh for this workbook, for example. I'll just enable this refresh. It's not going to successfully refresh because I don't have the original data sources available, so it doesn't really matter. But you can see you can refresh on a per connection basis. I'm just going to click OK to save the schedule as it was, whatever it was, because I'm going to do this in a custom way anyway. Once this page is done, I can go back here, and now I will see an entry. And what you will see in this row is that we have two columns, very simple, called start date and start time. Those are the ones, if you have a workbook that you want to update, that you need to set to the current date and time, and then the timer service will pick it up. Let me just copy this item ID, and then I will show you this. Let's create a new query. Actually, the way I usually do it is do an update. What we need. It's very basic. I'm just defining my where clause so that I don't update all the items in case I have multiple workbooks in there. That's an important step. And I will update start time and start date as follows. Very simple. There I get my date, and I can use the same function to get my time. Just have to cast it. There you go. And I'm going to run this. Oops, where's there? Still, where?
No. You have to remember how to use your own product?
Yes. I'm speechless. Okay, so we have done that. Let's look at the original item here in the queue. You will see that's now set for the date and time. And remember, this timer service kicks in every minute. So we will have to wait approximately a minute. And then you will see that this date and time will flip back to the original schedule because the system service, when it processes this work queue item, it will also take the information from the cache timing details to actually recalculate now the next time this item is supposed to run. Right? If we wanted to wait a minute, I hope this minute is over very soon, then I will switch back to it. Let's go to the other method which I promised you, or which I indicated. We also have a SOAP API now for a scheduled data refresh. This is how you can now, this API only works inside of SharePoint. So if you build a SharePoint solution, if you want to build your own custom data refresh, this is how you do it. You grab the Excel services instance, and then you send a number of commands. One of the first commands you do need to send is an open workbook command, and this EX states that you want to explicitly load this workbook for data refresh. Excel services does two things. It can refresh in normal operation. It might just load the model in read-only mode, but when you do a refresh, you want the model in read-write mode, and this is how you specify this. Basically, you check whether the return value gives you a success. In my case, this function would throw an exception. Of course, you would have to have exception handling, but I removed it because there wasn't enough space in the listing here. Here's my cursor. Next, you will need to send a method call called ensure workbook model, because Excel services, when you open a workbook, doesn't necessarily load the data model. For performance reasons, as long as you don't really interact with the data, oftentimes Excel services just shows you what's in the workbook cache. By sending this ensure workbook model command, I ensure that the model is now definitely loaded on my AS server. And then I can go in and I can enumerate the workbook connections that are in the workbook, and the last connection is always the one for all connections. And then I just send my refresh command to ECS directly, and ECS will do the refresh for me. And afterwards, I just need to save the workbook, and then I have it in the content database with all the updated data. So, with that, I think, Diego, it's your turn again.
Sounds good. Okay, so we went a little there into the whole backend side of how we would set up this application, and it's a pretty, you know, that side, you know, it's not really meant for the everyday user. We see more, you know, the IT pros, the BI pros, the people who are actually administering the SharePoint farms who are going to be in charge of kind of setting up the groundwork of what we just talked about. But then the next part is, well, really what the workbook looks like and how do we actually build these data models? And that's what I get to do, which I think is the fun part, because I don't have to think about all that complicated stuff that Kai has to do. I just have to go make pretty workbooks.
My stuff is easy. Building a model is complicated.
So I'm going to just go real quick back to where we originally started. And by the way, if you have been tweeting about the session, I have been tracking you, not to intimidate anybody. So a couple of things that we see here are in a little bit more detail, and then I'm going to actually show how to build them. So on my statuses, what I have is are two Office apps that I created, and all they're really doing is pointing at different web part pages. With the new SharePoint 2013, I can use the AJAX asynchronous refresh so that as the, you know, I'm pinging every 15 seconds to see how my how that list is being populated, to see how my status is doing for my import job, which Kai built for me. I have another SharePoint list Office app on the bottom with my search terms. And then the real meat here, which is the cube functions I'm using up here, and the model and charting that I'm using. Out of the room, how many people here are actually familiar with cube functions in Power Pivot? Okay, that's more than I expected. Great. Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to show you how really easy it is to kind of think about these when going to build these workbooks. So let's see here. There you go. So this is what my data model looks like. And how I built it was kind of asking myself some basic questions about what I wanted to analyze and what was available to me that Kai was actually retrieving from the Twitter API, and how I kind of think about this. So the first important part was, well, these tweets. I have these tweets that they have these properties. They have authors. They have mentions. An interesting thing here is that an author and a mention can be the same alias, right? The same user. I have timestamps, I have hashtags, and then I have the type of tweet, which is an original tweet or a retweet, so I can actually capture those as well. I have a tone dictionary, and what I do with the tone dictionary is inside the timer job that Kai described, we look through the string of the actual tweet, and based on that SharePoint list that we have, that we populate, we kind of look through that string and assign a score based on the words. And so every tweet gets an original score as to saying, like, you know, if you had three, like, negative words, we'll sum up the three negative values. If you have seven positive words, we'll start summing up all the positive values. And that's what ends up being your actual score, the score for any individual tweet.
Yeah, one comment on that is also that this logic to import the Twitter data and to process it, this all comes from the original Twitter Analytics workbook, which is still available for download. If you're interested in all these details, if it is useful for any of your scenarios, download this workbook and just look at the source code, how Aaron has done that.
So a common problem with modeling is that timestamps aren't really friendly. They're not really friendly to look at. So I just brought in a timetable. That actually just gives me the friendly names. And then, you know, I mentioned I have this situation where I have a many-to-many relationship because an author can also be a person who's doing the mentions. And so what I created was a utility list, which allows me to kind of, because many-to-many is not currently supported in tabular models, I just created a utility list that allows me to break so I have many to one going in the direction.
Which is a common way to establish relationships in SQL Server. You wouldn't know this if you were on my site.
Yep.
So this is kind of how like I sit down and lay, and, you know, we start thinking about, you know, when faced with one of these problems or you want to go do one of these quick analyses, these are a couple of the first questions that you ask, like what the properties of your data is, so then you can start going to build it. I think, that's not what I wanted to show. Okay, so I'm actually going to go build a piece of this workbook. I'm going to go build the top tweeters up here on the left, or something that, like, I'm not going to bother you guys with all the formatting that I did, but I'm going to try to show this as much as possible. So I start with a blank workbook in Excel, like many times we do when trying to do any sort of analysis. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to hit that database that Kai set up for me. There you go. And in there, I'm going to go look for my Twitter import. Great. So one thing that you might have noticed if this is your first time looking at Excel 2013 is that when importing, we have a couple of different options now, one of them being the enable selection of multiple tables. This means that one connection, in the past, when you were connecting with Excel to a SQL Server, you could only bring in one table at a time per connection. Now I can, because of the data model in Power Pivot that's back there, I can just bring in all the tables at once. I saw some smiles over there, so somebody's excited about this. So another thing I can do is, if actually Kai had been nice enough, he could have set up all the relationships already for me in the data. And then all I would have had to do is select one of the tables and say select related tables, and all the relationships would also be brought in from that SQL database directly into the data model in Excel. But Kai was already mad that I was adding features all over the place, so he did not do that for me, so I'll have to do it manually.
See, this is the customer I have to live with. He never stops asking. He built his stuff until 1 o'clock in the morning last night, or this night, because he couldn't stop working on this. And more features. More features.
So I'm going to bring in all my tables. So what I'm doing now is I'm importing from the SQL database directly into my model. And I'm going to go create a pivot chart. So that's great. Pivot chart should be showing up. There we go. So I start with a blank chart. Great. I have the
Alt tab here in my field list shows me everything that I've imported into my model.
My data is not related, so any analysis across them is not going to make sense until I start creating relationships. But the first thing I'm going to do is kind of start with what the base layer of what I wanted to do here, which was put tweet author on axis and the search query on the legend. And I need to create a couple of relationships and go find a measure so that I can put on values and start measuring. So as I said, no relationships. So the first thing I'm going to do is go create relationships. In the past, in 2010, you had to go into the Power Pivot dialog to go create relationships. That's no longer the case. You can do it directly from Excel. So any user who has Excel 2013 has the ability to go into the relationships dialog and start creating relationships.
Apparently, I'm not the only one not creating relationships in the data source.
There you go. So the first thing I'm going to do is go create a bunch of these relationships that I, you know, cheated a little bit and already I have normalized my database and have the different columns that I want. So I have the mentions list, and I'm going to use the UID as the column to relate them on. I'm going to go ahead and connect the tweet list. And I'm also going to go ahead and create the hashtag list. Oops. There we go. Oh, sorry. Oops. There you go. Okay, great. So now I have the base three relationships, but there's some stuff missing. What I really wanted is my tone dictionary as well, and that's actually it's missing as part of my data model. But I remember that Kai put it up in SharePoint for me as part of a SharePoint list. So I'm going to actually go find that URL.
And the reason it is a SharePoint list, it is simpler to update. We just use the list web parts feature in SharePoint, and then the user can bring in whatever definitions of tones the user wants. SQL Server would have required writing more code and more components to update the records.
Yep, so there's my SharePoint list.
And I have my tone dictionary. And what I'm going to go is into list, export as a data feed. That's going to give me,
let me open up this little Atom SVC file.
And now I actually have a URL that's actually pointing directly to that list.
Yeah, this is a little trick in Excel 2013, how to get to the list data. You need to kind of know this. And when you do, then it's pretty straightforward. But if you don't, then it can be a little complicated to get to list data.
So from my workbook, data.
Before you continue, if you want to have this feature, this is the man to ask.
The go from an OData feed. So in SharePoint 2013, all lists can be surfaced as OData feeds. So in this case, I'm going to go and point it to that OData feed. Great. Let's go bring in that tone dictionary. And there it is. Perfect. Exactly what I wanted. And in this case, I don't really want to bring it onto any object on the sheet. What I want to do is just add it to the data model because I'm going to work with it inside inside Power Pivot. Okay, so now let's start doing some real modeling. So I have my tables. Great. You know, I have the relationships that I created. I have this tone dictionary. But one thing that I notice, let me show you, is that inside the tweed list, I have assigned a tone score. So a lot of them are zero because my dictionary is just not really that extensive. So anything that we can't detect, we just assign it a zero. And I need to map that to my tone dictionary index. But it's very possible that any given tweet will actually have go beyond this index. So what I need to do is create a relationship column that I can create the relationships that will stay within that index so that all my tables can map to either a positive, a neutral, or a negative tweet. So I'm going to go into tweet list, and I'm going to go create a new column called my tone score key. And I'm going to use some simple DAX here, which is, for those of you not familiar with DAX, it was a language that was developed to work against tabular models that mimicked very closely Excel. So the same user who's actually going out and is pretty familiar with Excel formulas can now, with a little bit more training, go and write these formulas directly against the tabular model and create calculations and calculated columns and add richness to those models. So in this case, what I'm going to do is say equals if my tone score is larger than the max value in my tone dictionary table index. So look through the index, tell me what the largest number is, and give me that comparison. If it's larger, then return the value that is the highest number in that index so I don't go over it. So in that case, I'm going to just do max. And there we go. And if that same tone score is smaller than the minimum value of index, yep, and return that minimum value. And if not, just give me the tone score because it means that it's inside that range and I'm okay with it. So I'm going to go ahead and close that calculation and hit enter. And error, bad. Okay, bad. So I'm going to go and see what that error is. And it says, well, you know, the minimum is, takes an argument of type number or date, and what you're actually giving me is strings. So thank you, Kai, for actually not even setting the types on the SQL database. So I'm actually going to go into my tone dictionary.
Diego, my objective was to use the code from the workbook as cleanly as possible, and it was all strings.
I'm going to actually change the data type inside the model. And what this will actually do is any time, this will actually stay permanent. So any time I'm doing any sort of insert or any sort of import job into the Excel data model, you can actually change the data type there inside on the models to work with it.
But before you go there, I would like to point out something on the Power Pivot side. And that is that with that error message, you were easily able to trace it down to the root cause, weren't you?
Fair enough. I'll concede to that one.
Yes. So that's not very common in SharePoint, is it?
So I changed over. So now my index is of type whole number. And if I go back to my tweet list, I can see that my calculation is working great, and it's actually staying within the index. So that's exactly what I wanted. And now I can go back into that diagram view and create the relationship that I wanted. And let's go. Whoops. Come on. There we go. So tone score key, and I'm just going to drag it onto index. And just another way of creating relationships that we allow. So there's no right or wrong way. You can go either way. You want to do it graphically, do it graphically. You want to do it through the Excel UI, you can do it through the Excel UI. Just in case you didn't have enough places to do it, we also have it inside the Power Pivot window. We don't really want you to have to travel too long before you can create your relationships. So great. Now I have my tone dictionary, and I have my utility list, and my mentions, and my hashtags. And really, the only thing that is missing is a timetable so that I can get those friendly like time names. So going back to what Kai said about schedule data refresh, he was nice enough, Workbook as the data source, he was actually nice enough to host in Excel itself, in SharePoint itself, a table with some friendly names. And like, this is something I can use inside my model. So I'm like, yeah, absolutely, that's what I want to do. And I want to add that to my model. So one of the cool things about Excel services being fully integrated with Power Pivot is that all these APIs start coming up and you can use for your modeling. In this case, we're going to use the REST API, and I'm going to connect directly to this table inside this workbook. And I have my little cheat sheet here with the URL. And when I go into Excel,
you didn't copy the whole URL.
I didn't copy the whole URL. Thank you. Oops. So let me just talk about this a little bit. So as you can see, my timetable is just short. It's just stored in shared documents. And two things I need to add. So you have the SharePoint address, and then we add this BTI bin Excel REST.spx. What this is going to do is it's going to call into the Excel Services REST API, and then we give it a path, and then slash OData and the name of the table. So the actual name of this table in this workbook was called timetable, and that's how I can connect directly to it. So I'm just going to copy that URL, go directly into my Excel workbook, go into data once again from our data feed, and just go directly into that. As you can see, it went directly to my SharePoint farm, found the table that I wanted in the workbook. Now I can bring that as a data source in another workbook. Now, the cool thing here is timetables change, put more languages, you add more data to it. All you have to do is hit refresh, and you'll get all this richness back into your data model. So there's no such thing anymore as I have this data model that's pointing to an Excel workbook, and when I refresh it, I don't get that new data. Now, fully interactive, all that data is going back and forth, and you'll always have the most up-to-date. So I'm going to hit finish.
That's, in fact, one of the key improvements in SharePoint 2013. When you open a workbook in SharePoint 2010 and you have this interactive data refresh and you click refresh, that's not really a refresh because Excel Services in 2010 only goes to the data model, which has still the old data. You needed to actually go this next hop into the actual data source, pull this into the model, and then query it. And that is how it's done in SharePoint 2013. So when you click data refresh in a workbook now, it's actually always a what we call a deep refresh. It goes always all the way to the data sources.
Great. So once again, I find myself in the situation where I need to create a relationship between these two tables. My tweet list, all it has is a publishing date. So, and because my timetable, if we remember what we saw, where is that? Right here. My timetable has hour, has time of day, has hour of day. So based on that, I need to go and extract the hour from my publishing date so I can actually go and create a relationship. So I'm going to go ahead in there and go into my tweet list. And again, super simple to do because of how similar DAX is to Excel. So in this case, same function as in Excel, the hour function, point it to the publishing date, let that run, and now I've extracted the hour. Let's call it hour. Go back into my diagram view, and now I can point hour to hour of day, and my model is complete. Not far, I think that took about 15 minutes total. Now I have a fully functioning model. You know, really simple to put together, really basic functions used in between the tables. And now I can go and my last step, which is to create something that I can actually go and measure. So let me pull out my cheat sheet again that I closed. 1 second.
Of course, these 15 minutes don't account for these, Kai, I need this, Kai, I need that, Kai, I need this.
So, yeah, we played the role of me being customer, him being IT department. We did this for the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to go into my utility list, and which is going to actually go and count the total number of tweets, and just go and add that. So I have a total tweet account, total tweet count, because my utility list is actually the one that has all the original tweets. And again, really simple DAX function, super understandable. You know, you don't have to be any sort of crazy expert to like put together these DAX functions. There's some great books from SharePoint MVPs as well who are putting out on how to write DAX functions that I highly recommend. In this case, I'm just saying count the distinct rows, and I gave it the tweet ID. So just bring me only the distinct IDs for tweets in my utility list so I can use that to count.
That's actually a good point. Thanks for pointing out the books. When you look at data analytics with Power Pivot and the DAX language, you will find that probably, I would say, at least 60%, if not more, of the problems you're trying to solve are not very, you know, unique. They are common across different scenarios. And if you get read blogs, we have a large number of MVPs that blog about DAX. There are a significant number of book authors that discuss business problems that you need to solve. You know, those things can help you to get started and actually build solutions very quickly.
So I'm going to add my total tweets to the to values, because now I have a measure. So great, now I'm seeing all the tweets across all my search queries, the four terms that I had put into my SharePoint list. Not really readable, so I'm gonna change some things around, do some quick formatting with some of the new like tools in Excel that are gonna allow me to really quickly get to what I want. So I'm gonna apply a top 10 filter by number of tweets, so I only get the top 10, great. And just because I had a bar chart in my original dashboard, I'm gonna actually go ahead and change that to a bar chart. And there you go, now I have my bar chart, and actually I'm gonna make it a stacked one, so it looks actually even better. Let's go there. And sadly, the previews when I'm in a virtual one, so I'll just show that. Usually when you go here, you'll actually get a live preview of all the data. Because I'm in a VM connecting through the remote desktop, it's just not working. But in your version, you'll actually get a preview of your data for all the different chart types. That's another feature that was added in Excel 2013 to just kind of make your life easier. So great. Now I have my top tweeters across all my search terms and kind of what search terms they're using. Really easy, I can add the slicers and filters that I wanted. In this case, I'm going to go ahead and add the tone. I'm going to add the search query if I find it. There we go. Get those filters in. Great. Let's put this on the side. And we can see that it's cross-filtering. On this section or on SharePoint Conference 12. So that's awesome. And one last thing I talked about is sometimes these pivot charts or these pivot tables are just not good enough for what you want to do. You want to have a little bit more you want to have a little bit more control about where you're showing your values, how you're building these workbooks, how you're showing these dashboards. And that's kind of what I did here. You know, I wanted this to be like right at like the top values. I wanted them to be like right in your face because I thought that was the most important information. And you can't really make a pivot table look like that. But what you can do is create cube functions that are fully interactive. You can filter and slice them. And they're super easy to do with the built-in data model into Excel. So in this case, what I'm going to do is call cube value.
Defining a new dimension for super easy.
It fills itself in.
Oh, okay.
It fills itself
okay.
in. I don't know.
You win.
So as you, the connection to the data model inside Excel is called this workbook's data model. I can go ahead and just add that. And then by just opening the brackets again, navigate to measures, dot total tweets. That's exactly what I wanted. And finally, I still want this value to be filtered by the slicers that I have here. So all I need to do here is start typing in slicer, and the slicer names will show up. So slicer one there, slicer two there, whoops. Slicer two there, great. Close that, great, I get a value, and check this out. Hit a function, everything gets filtered. And now I just have one cell that is actually reading into the data model, pulling the data that you want, and participating in all the filters that you have there. So the idea here is that creating these workbooks, creating these simple data models should not be complicated. You do not need a rocket science degree to be able to figure this out. You don't need to be a DBA to understand how to build these models. You just need to understand the data. And that's really where the power of self-service comes in, because you're giving the ability to build the model and to apply this semantic logic to the data, to the person who understands the data the best, which is the person trying to do the analysis. The problem that we see a lot of times in BI is that what you're asking somebody in the BI department, the IT department, to kind of build you these cubes, and they might actually not have the best understanding of the data that you have and how it's affecting or where the trends are. So this is really where the power of self-service BI comes to play.
One aspect, though, is that at this moment, what you see is the standard capability. The user does not yet have the ability to post information back.
True. So finally, what I want to do is we wanted to actually be able to, we said, you know, this application is cool, and I think everybody will find it interesting. We have a dashboard, but we've seen 1,000 dashboards. At this point, some of you have probably gone through like 17 different sessions on building Power Pivot or Power View. We really wanted to show something a little bit different in terms of I want to be able to interact with that data directly from my workbook. I want to be able to change the terms. And this is where the apps for Office come into play.
This is one of the areas where I was then becoming the customer, because that is a very interesting scenario for Power Pivot users. When you are in reporting scenarios, it is often that the user wants to report, let's say, billable hours or work hours performed and these kinds of things. And having the capability to work directly in a workbook and key this information in and refresh that workbook and bring that data right into your data model and see the results right there, I think that is very exciting. At least it got me excited.
So I'm going to switch back. So we introduced with Excel, with Office 2013 and SharePoint 2013 this new concept of called apps for Office. And the idea is that we saw a real need for people to be able to kind of expand from what you know we as Microsoft could build for you guys to go implement. We needed to give you the ability to really expand on the capabilities that we set the base for. And there's this, you know, these apps for Office are JavaScript and HTML5 powered. You can go and define them in a bunch of different ways. There's a couple of sessions during the SharePoint conference on how to build them, so I highly recommend. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I highly recommend you go and look up those sessions because they're really interesting on how you can do this. But the general idea is that I could define a XML document. And this is the simplest app for Office possible. This is just a content app that will display a website.
Remember the definition of super easy?
So the first thing you need to do is just call into XML to call into the app for Office schema. The second important thing to do is to name your app. And the third part is to know the URL of the page that you want to bring. And this is all that is in my XML document. This is all that I have there. And switching back, I will prove that by showing you here my XML document.
These overrides, you can just ignore them because I forgot to clean them up. But it's the same thing with that URL there.
And then what I would go and do is, because Kai was nice enough to enable this for me, inside my SharePoint farm, I have the apps for Office, the catalog. I go into the apps for Office. I select add a new app. I upload the XML document there. And then now that application and that part will be available to anybody connected to this to the SharePoint site. And I'll show you right here. So in this case, I'm going to go insert, apps for Office, see all. And I have my apps, which are none in this case. I have feature apps, because there's a
app store, which I guess the internet might not be working, but there's a,
oh, there you go. There's an app store that Office is hosting. You can actually go write your apps and publish it here, and there's a revenue model. It's super interesting. I highly recommend going to check this out. And then I have my organization.
Wait a minute, Diego. Why didn't you publish ours there? You could have made money.
I know, right? Well, I'll check it out next time.
Yeah.
And then I have my organization, which are the pre-approved apps that have been hosted in the SharePoint site that I can now insert directly into my workbook.
In this case, I'm going to pick my Twitter app, hit insert, and there you go. Now I have inside my workbook an editable SharePoint list that I can use to work with my workbook. The next step is to just publish this to SharePoint so that everybody in my organization has access to it.
Diego, would you mind editing it? Is it in edit mode already?
No, it's not right now. Oh, I can edit it, yeah, right now. I can say, so in this case, I just added the section right now to our terms list while everybody was listening to me do something else. So I'm actually going to kick off the import, which is going to go in the back end and start doing that all that stuff that Kai had us set up to do. But in the meantime, I'm actually going to go and save this up to my site. Go in there. Great. I'm going to call it Kai's Amazing Tweets.
Thank you.
There we go. And let's go and, oops.
There we are.
And there is my workbook, and the app is
loading right now. So there's a security model here, which won't let you do it the first time. You have to actually activate it. And this time, for some reason, I had a bug since last night where I actually have to do it. They usually say the second time it works. For this one, it's the third time it works. You know, there you go. It works. and what I have now is that exact same workbook, that application that I built in the last, 20 minutes with you guys listening to me. We have that fully interactable report that I can share across my organization. It was quick. It was easy to build the dashboard part of it. And we have a fully functioning Twitter application. And yeah, so with that, concludes today's presentation. Thank you again so much for coming here at noon and during the last session. We really appreciate it. And we will be here open for questions for a while. But thank you very much, and we hope you enjoyed it.